think I finally came up with a name for this syndrome, you know, of God reverting to things he did in the past and drawing your attention to them, to use it to say to the people who say, you know, well, you can't do this. This is new. Nobody's ever done this before. Ah, we did it before. Got a name for it. You ready for this? It's the don't be so hasty syndrome. Don't be so hasty. You might want to put darn in front of there. Don't be so darn hasty. Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. In Galatians, I told you that people of the law said, yeah, you can't base anything on promise. It's never been done before. Oh, yeah? God promised something to Abraham 490 years before the law. Not 490, but I don't know. So many years. And then in the Melchizedek priesthood, well, you can't have a priest who's not born of Aaron, not born of Levi. There's never been such a thing. Oh, what you don't remember was there's this guy named Melchizedek who was a king and priest. He was actually greater than Levi. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So don't be so hasty. There's another example of it, of course, in 2 Peter. For those of you, not that any of you listening would be thinking this, but people listening over your shoulder, where's the promise of his presence? We talked about the promises of God last week, I think, or maybe it was earlier this week. That God is not slack concerning his promises. A year says 1,000 days. No, is that right? It most certainly is not right. It's incorrect, in fact. 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. Well, Peter says to those people who would say, where's the promise of his presence? In 2 Peter 3:4, for since the fathers were put to repose, these people say, these are mockers, scoffers. Well, since the fathers have been put to repose, all is continuing this way from the beginning of creation. There's nothing new under the sun. Things are going to keep going this nice, peaceful way forever. And Peter says, no, they're oblivious of this, that there were heavens of old and an earth cohering out of water. And through water, by the word of God, through which the then world, being deluged by water, perished. In other words, there have been cataclysmic times in our earth's history. And if you think it's never happened before, if you think that God is not going to once again kill millions of people, he is. He's done it before. So, you know, you don't want to be oblivious of this fact. You got to revert to another time. And I got to say this. When you revert, you're not going backwards. We're not going backwards. It's based on a principle, but it's put in a completely new context. For instance, Paul reverts to Abraham to show that God did promise something to people by faith, but then he takes it to the next level. It's not like we're going back to Abraham because God doesn't go back. He keeps going forward, but he builds on it. He takes the principle that, yes, there was a time where blessing was based on faith, and we're going to revert to that time, but we're going to put it in a whole new context. We're going to say it's super abounding faith, super excessive grace, transcendently transcendent grace, and we're going to blow it out of the water. Same here with the Melchizedek priesthood. We're going back, reverting to a man who was both king and priest, and there was no genealogy recorded about the guy. We're going to blow that out of the water, and we're going to confer this kind of priesthood that has neither beginning or end on a immortal one, the very Son of God, who is going to be a priest along the order of Melchizedek for the eon. I told you yesterday I was going to tell you excuse me, why it is so important that we have a time element here, and I'm quoting from the Psalms now. In Hebrews 7:21, the writer of Hebrews is quoting from the Psalms, so I'll quote from the writer of Hebrews. The Lord swears and will not be regretting it, thou art a priest for the eon, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, in the King James Version, that doesn't say for the eon, it says thou art a priest forever. Forever. Remember that movie, Sandlot? Forever. It's so ominous. But no, he's not a priest forever. You say, why not? Priesthood is great. No. And now, priesthood is a word that occurs over 35 times in the book of Hebrews. Priesthood speaks of distance. It speaks of estrangement. It's a sign of estrangement, a barrier between God and some of his creatures, because you need a go-between. You remember Moses comes down from Mount Sinai. No, you were not going to talk to God, Moses. You talked to him. I guess that was before he went to the top of Mount Sinai. We're not going to talk to this God. It's too scary. We hear the rumblings. We see the lightning. Why don't you go talk to him? let Mikey eat it. Mikey will eat anything. Send Moses up there. We don't want to go. It's too, so it's a, there's still an estrangement there, isn't there, between the people of Israel and God. Maybe not between Moses and God, because he was the priest, functioned as a priest. He was the intermediary. But if this, even if the Melchizedek priesthood lasts forever, as it mistakenly says in the common versions, then it is also going to come under the same condemnation as the Aaronic priesthood, which the Aaronic priesthood could never bring anything to perfection. I'm going to tell you why in a second. Couldn't bring anything to perfection or finality. And you might say that would happen if Christ was a priest forever, because he's forever a go-between. There's forever estrangement. There's forever a barrier. So he wouldn't bring anything to a finality. But he is going to perform the office of priest and king perfectly. And he's going to do it so perfectly that there's not going to be need for it anymore. Remember, the whole purpose of Israel's mediacy is to bring the nations in subjection to God. And that is what's going to happen during the millennium. Well, it's true, you got a rebellion at the end of the millennium when Satan is loose for a short time and he gathers an army from the four corners. Yeah, that's a whole other topic. But there are nations in the four corners during the millennium that are forced to bring their offerings to Jerusalem. So their hearts aren't in it. And that's where Satan goes to mount an insurrection at the end of that thousand years. But it's going to be quelled, you might say, crushed in an instant. And I believe this is where you're going to find Gog and Magog. These nations don't exist now. I'm all over the place today. Sorry, we're not talking about prophecy here, but Gog and Magog do not exist now. I do not believe these nations are going to exist until the end of the thousand years. That's why people are going to say, which nation's Gog? Is Gog Russia? What's Magog? Well, Gog and Magog are going to be Gog and Magog. The reason nobody's heard of them is because they don't exist yet. Keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that when we talk about the book of Revelation. So priest is a sign of estrangement, and it goes away when God's at peace with his people. That's why priesthood, for as good as it is, it's imperfect. That's why in the new earth, you don't find a temple. Chapter 21 of Revelation. There I go to Revelation again. If priesthood was perfect, you would find a temple on the new earth and you would find a priesthood, but you don't. You don't, because Israel retires as the priesthood nation and Jesus Christ retires as the chief priest at the end of the thousand years. Are you following me? Because there's no temple on the new earth. Read Revelation chapter 21. No temple, no priesthood. God is now dwelling directly with mankind, but there are still kings. He's still a king, and Israel is still a king nation. Because when that new Jerusalem comes down, it has 12 portals, 12 gates, which still speaks of the superiority of Israel. And I have told you many times, I don't want you to forget this, whenever you're on earth, whenever you're talking about earth, Israel has the first place. Israel will be supreme, and the other nations will be second-class citizens anytime you're talking about E-A-R-T-H. That's why when we go to heaven, all the bets are off. All the rules about Israel being head and not the tail on the earth are off. It doesn't apply. That's why the only place we can be supreme is not on earth, i.e. in heaven. So our Lord Jesus Christ is a priest for the eon. What specifically? How dare the King James Version and the common versions, the NASB, the NIV, New Inconsistent Version, how dare they take this precise phrase, thou art a priest for the eon, according to the order of Melchizedek. How dare they take that and make it forever, a priest forever? The word ion is there. Where do you get forever for that? I don't understand how they do it, except that they think they're doing him a favor by saying, well, his priesthood is forever. Oh, and the saints reign forever and ever. Martin, that verse proves that this eon of the eon, it means forever, because saints reign forever. See, the saints, we know we're going to reign forever. Oh, we do? No, not even Jesus Christ is going to reign forever, because reign presupposes that there are people who need reigned over. And once again, it proves that there's in subjection and that not everything is brought into completion to Christ. But 1 Corinthians 15:28 says that he's going to become all in all, and that he himself is going to lay down his kingdom to his God and Father. He's going to reign until he should subject all enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:24, the last enemy abolishes death. That's probably 1 Corinthians 15:25, because I know the death verse is 26. Don't you love it when the Bible starts to make sense? I do. Now, I told you as we wind up here on this Friday, another week of broadcast here, I told you I'm going to talk about why this Aaronic priesthood didn't work. It kept failing, and it didn't bring anything to a finality. The reason was that those darn priests kept dying. How rude of them. Verse 23 of Hebrews 7, and these indeed are more than one, having become priests. They're more than one of them. Jesus is going to be the one high priest, but there's more than one. There's a succession of high priests in Israel. They're more than one, having become priests, because death prevents them from abiding. Doggone it. Yeah, I tried to abide. What happened to you, man? You were doing so well. I tried to abide, but, you know, death kept me from abiding. Oh, yeah, you died, didn't you? Yeah. Death kept me from abiding. You just get used to one of the priests, and then the guy keels over. It's like in the Catholic Church. There's this one lady, she, you know, liked Father Oliver. I just love Father Oliver. He's the greatest. And when he left, oh, I miss Father Oliver. They get so attached to these personalities, and they just go away, you know. And thank God we shipped most of our priests out. We got new priests. They were just as bad, and we shipped them out. But it's a succession. Same thing with the Aaronic priesthood. A succession of priests. Death keeps them from abiding. Yet that one, look at the contrast, because of his remaining for the eon, has an inviolate priesthood, not interrupted by death. Not interrupted by death. That doesn't mean it doesn't end. It just means that while it's going on, it keeps going on. It doesn't need interrupted by death. So it's going to be inviolate in that it goes from the consummate, from the beginning of the millennium to the end of the millennium. But it does end, because if it doesn't, it's a slap in the face to Jesus Christ, who's eventually going to bring everything in subjection to the feet of God, including himself. This has been Martin Zenner. Have a great weekend. More on Hebrews on Monday.